Good to see each of you this morning, and those, of course, watching and listening. This last song began this way. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. That gets us to thinking about next Sunday as we finally take the Lord's Supper again, but very differently, because we're not all going to be together taking the Lord's Supper. This will be our first celebration of the Lord's Supper during this separation due to the pandemic. So to accomplish that, we have these prepackaged Lord's Supper elements as the bread and the juice. So we've been saying two things. One is, if obviously those who are watching and listening and cannot be here, we need to find a way to get that to you. And the first way is, if you can, to come by the church office. Now we have this week, Monday through Thursday, come by and pick up yours for you and your family. And the deacons are responsible to get these to the homebound on their list. So we're planning on that. And if you have a question, you're concerned, you're not sure, please call the church office. And then that morning, of course, during the worship, I will direct you as we take the Lord's Supper together using this package. And of course, you need to prepare spiritually, whatever that means for you. Every day being aware of it, every day praying about it, so that next Sunday is a really, really special time for us. A couple of prayer requests regarding those who have passed away. Scott Monteith. Scott passed away this week. Scott and Ruth Ann were here, part of our church, for many, many years, and they moved a couple of years ago to Amarillo. Scott had been battling cancer for a while. So be praying for Ruth Ann and their son and family up there, Jeremy. And then suddenly this week, very unexpectedly, Debbie Orr passed away Thursday. For those of you, the name's not ringing a bell, she led the Jubilaires. Been having some issues and had surgery a few weeks ago, just never really got over that. But it was unexpected, her death, Debbie Orr. So be praying for David and then her family. Funeral has not yet been decided. It will be this week. So just be looking for that and paying attention. So we continue to remember Bob King in the hospital, Chris Hoggard at home. We have two more in the hospital, Charlie Hernandez, and that's Cindy Lopez's brother. Sometimes we identify people that way. He's in the hospital. Don Dawes is in the hospital. So be praying for them. And we want to remember anybody in the path of these storms. Certainly. And the different ministries and agencies that move in quickly to serve and to bless people. Let's bow together. Father, thank you for worship. We live in very unusual times, stressful, chaotic, challenging. Yet you are Lord over all. And there's a season for everything, and nothing catches you by surprise. It does us, and we respond to it in our own ways. We're thankful that you are who you are in the midst of this. And help us as believers on this earth, all over this world, to unite together as believers, looking to you in the midst of all of this. In the midst of all of this, as some want to take advantage of it politically and other ways. And as it interrupts our long-lived routines, and it takes away predictability, planning. Help us to see that as an opportunity to look to you for our leadership and direction, which we should be doing anyway. Help every time we encounter something we don't like about this, that we could find something in it of spiritual value. We have that as believers. We have that possibility. We also have that encouragement from you to do so. And Father, this morning, as we continue to look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit, help us to gain what we need to gain: knowledge, inspiration to live in this world in full partnership under the lordship of the Holy Spirit, the direction. Help us do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we do continue on the topic of the Holy Spirit, we won't do that next Sunday, but I will afterwards continue at least a week, maybe two more, as we seek to practically live and operate under a clear understanding of the Holy Spirit. Obviously, I am implying many of us don't have the clearest understanding from a practical standpoint. As I, for 2 weeks, have introduced the topic, it's a controversial topic because some think they know a lot about the Holy Spirit, and they think they know how you ought to think about Him and respond to Him. So I want to begin with this quote, Francis Chan. Imagine what it would be like to have Christ standing beside you in the flesh, functioning as your personal counselor. You don't have Him. Get that straight. We don't have Him in the flesh. Imagine it. Imagine the peace that would come from knowing you would always receive perfect truth and flawless direction from Him in the flesh. Imagine that, because you don't have that. So why do we think that would be any better than the actual presence of the Holy Spirit? What he's saying is, if you imagine Jesus standing here, and that's not hard to do. Incidentally, Peter did not have Jesus at his side 24/7. Nobody did. But you can imagine it. It's not hard. And then he leaves. And that's a big disappointment, because we can't imagine anything as good. And he told us in John 16:7, I must go, and it's going to be to your advantage, because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Helper. So the question we begin with is a reminder of how I'm going to go out on a limb, or maybe I'm not going to go far out on a limb. I'm going to go out on some degree on a limb and say, you're disappointed that you don't have Jesus standing here. I'll just speak for myself. My entire adult life, I would have argued with Jesus. That's not good enough. Don't leave. You follow me home. You go with me. So I need this question. Why don't I say, thank you, Jesus, for sending him? Now, the reason there's a question, it's very simple. Why do we think that that would be any better to have Jesus than the Holy Spirit? You know the answer, because we can't see the Holy Spirit. That's why. It's a simple answer. I could see Jesus if he followed me everywhere. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage. I really want to point that word out. Your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I'll send him to you. Last week I let you know there's some deep theology behind that statement. What Jesus is saying is, I came here to do something, not stand next to you and have a conversation with you when you're trying to decide if you ought to move to Bay City to take that job, or you ought to leave Bay City to take that job. I didn't come to sit here with you and discuss that. I came here to go to the cross. And the only reason I will leave is because I would have completed the mission of going to the cross. They had no idea he meant that. We do, because we've got it all together in this Bible. If I don't go away, that'll be bad news for you. I will not have died on the cross yet for your sins. So that's the profound theology behind that. Remind you of what the word Holy Spirit means, helper, comforter. It is the Greek word parakaleo, paraclete. I hope you're probably not going to forget this because I've done it 3 weeks in a row. Para means to come alongside. Kaleo means to call. So the Holy God, Jesus, called the Holy Spirit to come alongside you and me. That's huge. Jesus says, I've got to leave. And of course, see, I'm not so unspiritual that it's ridiculous. I'm just like the disciples. They said, where is he going? Bad timing. Bad decision, bad move. They had to learn that his leaving meant the Holy Spirit standing right here with you, and with you, and with you, and with you, in Egypt, and Israel, and Europe, and America, and China, or anywhere else. That's the miracle of the Holy Spirit. Two points this morning, very simple. Number one, for this theology of the Holy Spirit, what should be your theology of the Holy Spirit? Or what should be your understanding? What's the clarity you need? Here's the clarity I need. I need to remember it. Remember means don't just get ready for a test in seminary or Bible college or Sunday school and answer it once. Always remember the unique role of the Holy Spirit, unique from the other two, the Father and the Son. Someone, James White, said this. There's two or three slides of this. I think you're really going to appreciate it. There's a reason why the Holy Spirit does not receive the same level and kind of attention that's focused upon the Father and the Son. It's not His purpose to attract that kind of attention to Himself. In other words, there's a reason this preacher is preaching these messages on the Holy Spirit. Because we have a universal issue with seeing the Spirit different than the Father and the Son. We have less clarity about the Spirit and much more clarity about the Father and the Son because of the very purpose and mission of the Holy Spirit. Just as the Son voluntarily chose to take the role of the suffering servant, that's in the book of Isaiah, to redeem God's people, the Spirit chose to take the role as sanctifier and advocate of the people of God. Since it is the Spirit's role to direct the hearts of men to Christ and to conform them to His image, He does not seek to push Himself into the forefront and gain attention for Himself. So the purpose of the Spirit is to point to Jesus, and that right off the bat sets Him up and sets us up to humanly think, humanly, well, the Spirit is a little less than. Anybody that points to someone else, and the most famous of those is John the Baptist. And he famously said, he didn't say this, but he might as well have said this, you know, I've been really popular for a while. Seems like everybody in Jerusalem came down to the river for me to baptize them. And I get that. But it's time for me to take a back seat. That's what John the Baptist said. I must decrease. He must increase. Behold, he pointed, as Jesus walked up, behold the Lamb of God. So we're used to people that point and introduce the speaker as not being as big as the speaker. That's normal. Well, this isn't normal. This is faith. This is biblical, eternal truth. The Holy Spirit pointing to Jesus doesn't make Him less than. One more thing that James White said, one result of this is that the evidences, that is the instances in the Bible, the evidences of His personality and deity are not as numerous or obvious as those of the Father and the Son. In other words, before you walked in here this morning, there's no doubt you could have referenced many more instances where the Father is clearly described. And certainly the Son, S-O-N. So the verse for this point number one is John 15:26. Jesus says, when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, The Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So point number one this morning, I need to keep in mind, I got to remember when I get caught being not sensitive to the Spirit. Oh yeah, I forgot. He's right there. That's not too wise for me to forget Julia's right here in my life. I mean, you know, and sometimes she'll remind me, hey, I'm here. I'm not going to let her speak. Well, you don't normally do that with human beings sitting next to you, standing next to you, riding with you, talking with you. Otherwise, you're going to be like today, nowadays, the phone. They tell us, don't use the phone while you're eating. Don't be rude. You're having lunch with somebody. So we don't want to be considered rude. Why would you be considered rude? Because you're ignoring someone. Well, when I get caught ignoring the Holy Spirit, I need to remember something. It's kind of understandable that I might. So I need to remember he has a unique role. And that verse right there is pretty complicated. And it sets me up to think, oh, it's the Father. It's the Son. And of course, all this is being preached in a church that demands. I personally have never fired a Sunday school teacher in my life. I haven't had to. But I would do it so quickly. You know, I'm kind of easygoing and I'll work with you. But if I found out that somebody this morning got up and said, you know, I've been thinking, I don't believe in the Trinity. They would be fired quickly, would not be given a second chance, and we wouldn't discuss it. This church says we are a church that believes in the Trinity. Yet, just because we have this big doctrine in our book somewhere doesn't mean we all walk with clarity. So he's going to testify of Jesus because that's the way God said to do it. We need to be conformed to the image of his Son. And number two, we need to remember the Holy Spirit is a person. Some of you, I don't want you to check out, but some of you don't need to hear that. Some of you do. Meaning, he's not it. He's not a thing. That is so easy to think. When Jesus says, I'm going to send the Comforter, that sounds like a thing. I'm going to send the Helper, the. It's he. And you, the ones that don't need this, or you could come up here and say the same thing. I will. Every time the Spirit is referred to, it's he. It's not it. So I need to remember he's a person, but he's invisible, and that's makes it difficult. Most of you remember this scripture. In the book of Acts, where did we get missionaries? Where did we get these people that we say, oh, Ryan and Susan, they don't live here. They're not supposed to live here. They live in Turkey. They're missionaries. Somehow they felt God called them to leave entirely any normal life and go. Where did we get the first ones? Acts 13. Why did Southern Baptist ever start this and other groups? Because of Acts 13. And guess what? Acts 13 says this. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, that means Paul and Barnabas and all those people in the church, the Holy Spirit said, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. So notice the personal pronouns. The Holy Spirit tells the church in Antioch, I want you to separate Paul and Barnabas to me. And very specifically, the Holy Spirit is being credited with this command. Equal to God the Father, equal to God the Son, the Trinity, totally, completely equal. Yet, most of the time, the Spirit is behind the scenes. You know, some people like to be behind the scenes because they're bashful. Well, some people are behind the scenes because it's their job. There's just some things we shouldn't see because they're behind the scenes. Because if you see them, maybe something broke down. So that's the scripture, one of them. I'm going to close quickly with three things about the Spirit you need to keep in mind, and some of you know this. Three words. He can be resisted, he can be quenched, he can be grieved. You can resist the Spirit. That's bad news this morning. It's bad news that you could say, stop, no, I don't want to have anything to do with that. Isn't that something? God is God and he's so powerful that I can resist him because of how he wants to work with me. Now, a decent parent with a four-year-old out somewhere with a bunch of other people close to traffic doesn't care if the four-year-old resists. They're not going to be allowed to get into traffic. But when that four-year-old is 44, well, you know the rest of that story. God wants us to cooperate. Quench means to put out, extinguish. And we know what grieve is. So, quickly. Acts 7:51. Pretty strong language. You stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Interestingly, as your fathers did in the wilderness. I mean, the desert. Resisting, that's dangerous, it's possible, don't do it. So we need to be aware we can resist the Holy Spirit. What does that say to me? It means, when I say it's dangerous, I don't like the fact that I could get away with having my own way. Yet, I was born to have my own way, and I like it a lot. Having my own way. Okay, so that's circular reasoning. But I want to follow the Lord. I wish when I got saved, he clipped whatever nerve or brain signal I had that says I want my way. But I found out, I keep looking for the scripture, he doesn't clip it. That would make it so simple. So I can resist. So what does that mean? So every day I say, Lord, I'm going to be honest with you. I want to go there. I want to do that. I hope this is your will. I really do. But please, if it is not, Don't let me do it. Most of you know the scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, don't quench the spirit. Now that's in the context of the spirit moving. How many through the ages, in the last 100 years, long-standing church members have carried around a bucket of water, and every time somebody gets spiritual and says, you know, I just want to serve the Lord 100%, therefore I am, and they go, whoosh, settle down. Get back in here and sit down. Don't quench. I need to be careful. Oh, and it's such a care. Because there's some people that can do stupid things in the name of the Spirit, and we ought to stop them. But let me tell you, you better take a step back and be slow to step in and say, I'm going to stop you. But I will not back off from the fact that there are some things that ought to be stopped. But I think the buckets of water are more of a problem just all the time. Quenching the spirit. Parents, there's many a dad that says, I'm so glad you're going to church. This is a dad and an adult son. I'm glad you and the wife are excited about the Lord, but don't, and you know what I'm going to say, don't go too far. Don't get too excited. Church is good. God is good, but, you know, keep it inside the lines. I would say sometimes that could be quenching the spirit. And then finally, grieving the spirit. Ephesians 4:30 very simply says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We all know what that picture would look like. Somebody we remotely care about. We just said something that shriveled their soul, their heart, their spirit. And if you cared the least about them, it would kill you. I need to care that much about the Holy Spirit that I would not grieve. And then now Ephesians 4:30, got bad news for you. That's in the context of your mouth and mine. Wow. What did I just say? Grieving the Holy Spirit with our communication. So I'll close with a question I asked Sunday number one. Shouldn't there be a huge difference between the person who has the Spirit of God living in them and those who don't? Well, you know the answer to that. So as I think about, I've spent a lot of my life thinking I'm getting ready to debate theology and Christianity and truth, and that's fine. Because there's people out there that don't believe and they don't know and they think they know. Today, I would call us, as we think about the Holy Spirit, just the fact that He's in my life, there should be a qualitative, recognizable difference in my life and theirs. There should be something recognizable in me that says, He has the Spirit of God in Him. Not because I can use a word that long from theology, but because my heart, my lips, my words My attitude, my reactions just exude Him. I ask you to think about that for you. So we're not here to make sure we have doctrinal, categories that are just perfect and we can use words. We're here to be spiritual. And that never means holier than thou. That means spirit-led, spirit-directed, spirit-empowered. And it all begins at how you see the cross, how you see Jesus, what is He doing there, what did He do there, and what does that have to do with me? And I'm so glad I was raised in an environment where every time I thought about the cross, I thought about my guilt. They successfully helped me see, of course He died for me. And it's amazing grace. Thank you, Jesus. Please come into my life. I want to associate with you. I want to be identified with you. I want you to be my Lord. And I don't even know what I'm saying, except I know it's right. And your Spirit will lead me to what it is and what it means. Father, we thank You once again for who You are today in the midst of all of this. We thank You that it was Your perfect will that the Son came to do what the Son did. And now the Son is where He is. And You made arrangements for us to have the Helper, the Paraclete, the Spirit. Thank You. Help us to walk in the Spirit, with the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.